Welcome to RCGP Scotland Presents Generally Speaking. In this, the 13th episode of the podcast, RCGP Scotland Chair Dr. Chris Provan was joined by Dr. Scott Jameson, a general practitioner and Royal Navy veteran, to discuss the Scottish Government's General Practice Armed Forces and Veteran Recognition Scheme and the College's resources for GPs caring for veterans.
Scott, welcome to Generally Speaking. It's really great to have you here to talk about veterans' health and how practices can help veterans. So can I ask you, first of all, to introduce yourself a bit, tell us a bit of background about that and yourself, please.
Thanks so much, Chris, and it's great to be here. Thanks for having me. I'm a GP partner up in Kirriemuir Medical Practice in Angus and Tayside. I've got lots of jobs, which is great. And the great thing about general practice, of course, I've been on RCGP Scottish Council now for over a decade. I work as an external reviewer for the SPSO. In my clinical work, I'm really interested in quality of care, one of the Scottish Quality Safety Fellows, and access as well. But in particular, supporting veterans and the wider armed forces community. Why? Well, maybe I should also mention I was in the Royal Navy as a full-time medical officer. I left in 2015.
Absolutely. And Armed Forces Week is coming up on Monday, the 22nd of June. We know that GPs have an important role in supporting veterans. Tell me what you think that role is, Scott.
Thanks, Chris. It's a great question. And I think as GPs across the country, we will all have met a veteran. Absolutely. We'll all managed issues specifically that relate to veterans. And I think the role of general practice is hugely important. For many veterans, general practice is a new front door to healthcare for them. And it's a different front door than they'll ever experienced. And I'll try and unpick why that might be. So, not only that, but of course, veterans will present with not only just the same conditions as everyone else, but their experience in the service and how they worked with healthcare will really shape their physical and mental health in really unique ways. So I think for general practice, for example, you know, you're going to find 45-year-olds that might need knee replacements. You're going to find 38-year-olds that have got complex chronic pain, maybe overlaid with PTSD, anxiety, which is just on a different way that you'll have ever experienced. And even that transition to civilian life is sometimes really challenging. So some veterans you'll find have difficulty in trusting a service that's kind of different to them. They might really value continuity in a very different way than what you might have traditionally seen. But they also minimize their symptoms in a weird way, because sometimes that kind of military culture, because of course you know, being off in the military was a really different entity than what it's like in the civilian life. So one of the key messages, I suppose, from Scottish Government and covered in the Armed Forces Covenant, which we're signed up to across NHS Scotland, is that veterans need to receive fair access to healthcare. And importantly, not disadvantaged because of their service. So in some cases where a condition relates to the service, so that 45-year-old that's got this really premature knee arthritis, which is not working in the same way that you might have expected for normal, because they've been a Marine for 20 years and they've really had bad excessive or disproportionate damage to it because of their service, they might also be entitled to prioritisation in their treatment, subject to clinical need. So I suppose for the GP, the single biggest question is, what we could do is say, have you ever served in the armed forces? And that one question, I think, can really open up an important conversation, improve that understanding, and then really help you signpost to the access that might be more suitable to their needs.
So it's about asking the question, have you ever served in the armed forces? Absolutely. Really? Yeah. We talked in this podcast previously about health inequality and other things, but this sounds similar in some ways. There are those barriers and having potentially mistrust and difficulty navigating the system. But are there any other barriers or anything else you'd like to highlight around how veterans seek help at all?
I think there are several, and they're very understandable when we unbox them a little bit. A lot of veterans are used to coping, and they might feel quite uncomfortable asking for help, especially, I would say, for mental health difficulties and sometimes for physical health issues as well. There can be quite a lot of stigma around seeking that support, especially age groups we don't typically expect to see people at the general practitioner. I'm thinking particularly middle-aged men who tend not to come to us a lot. And when they do come in, your eyebrows kind of perk up and say, why are you here? Because you're never normally here. Or a feeling that others are worse off than they are. Some veterans don't always identify themselves as a veteran, especially if they serve for quite a short time. So they don't realize that there are veteran-specific support that we can offer to them. So it is relevant to them in terms of the referral pathway onwards. So they might not come forward with it. Others might have difficulties experiencing that transition from military to civilian life and can feel quite disconnected. Sometimes it's different when, you know, when I was on ships and deployed, the sick bay was part of the ship. You know, it was very accessible. It was in a really prominent place on the ship, and it was really easy to get into. It's not quite the same. So we also know that there's practical issues with housing instability, social isolation, unemployment, and financial pressures that are just going to impact on their engagement with health. And that's across the piece. And so that's why creating a practice environment that feels welcoming and veteran aware, I think, matters. And it's the really small things, say, for example, amongst reception staff, when they see the joining form for the practice, it's on all the joining forms, asking about military service routinely, it's on there, and it says, did you serve in the armed forces? And acknowledging that with the patient and just working out how is that going to work out or how is it impacting on them, it can make them feel that they've at least been understood, that there might be some subtle differences about even simple things like access to their healthcare records and saying to a veteran, oh, I notice you're in the armed forces. Is that where you've come from? Right. Well, that's going to be really important for us to get hold of your medical record and to help support you into getting NHS healthcare, which they might not have ever even accessed since they were 17. And of course, 17-year-olds know a lot about accessing their GP. So it's a really different thing for them.
Yeah. It's about acknowledging that and identifying them. And I think hopefully that builds a bit of trust. So the Scottish Government has recently launched their Armed Forces and Veterans Recognition Scheme. And can you tell us a little bit about that and its benefits, Scott?
Yeah, so it's quite light touch and it's not difficult. The recognition scheme is really about encouraging GP practices to demonstrate that as a practice, we've put some effort into understanding what this is about. And within primary care, that GP accreditation element really is about becoming veteran friendly. And the RCGP supports this. And we have devolved schemes across the devolved nations. And of course, a really successful English scheme where this was first tested out. What is it in practical terms? Well, it's a really simple online module. There's three levels of it aimed at admin with managerial responsibilities and clinicians. And it encourages really simple but important actions, just simple things like identifying your veterans in your clinical system, improving your staff awareness, understanding referral pathways, and signposting patients towards appropriate support. You know, what happens if we get an armed forces family joining the practice and the wife who's with the armed forces serving person has moved from Plymouth up to Glasgow? What are the implications for that? Because there are implications about what that will mean, because they'll be moved because the government has told them to move, not because they've chosen to move house, but they've moved because the government has moved the family. And that has implications for things like waiting lists and things like that and how that should be managed. But there's also practical things about just recoding it. And so when we see that on the GPR, when they register in the practice, recode military veteran, as I recall, it's 13 capital J small I. It comes up when you type military veteran onto the clinical systems. And just coding that is really important so that when they do come in, it's there on your priority ones and you can spot it and say, wait a minute, this might be relevant to that. So importantly, it's not about creating any separate healthcare. It's not about changing it in that, but just culturally sending a message that we deliver equitable access. We recognize you might have some specific needs and we want to deliver person-centered care within the principles of the Armed Forces Covenant for Scotland. And that's as simple as that. So it's online modules on 2RS, which are very easy, and a sign-up form when you start off as a practice. So it takes my whole practice from start to finish, probably a week for everybody to have got it done. And then on after, obviously, as a practice with myself as a veteran, it's been a useful thing. And we certainly do, we have benefited that acknowledgement in terms of our referral pathways on, that when we can identify somebody as a veteran, we have Veterans First Point here in Tayside. So when we pick up somebody coming in with a mental health issue, we pick up their veteran, we say, you know, do you want to go to Veterans First Point? Because it's got just some different access and some different services that my mental support worker in the practice might not be as familiar with, but the guys down at Veterans First Point are, which is really useful. It keeps the guys who are in my mental health support workers in the practice free for doing the kind of civilian life kind of background. Yeah. And the Veterans First Point guys will look after the ones that have got that service background. But it's a choice to go there. They don't always want to, but it's a great thing to have tools in your toolkit, which is always what you like as a GP. Have some choices.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about having those tools, those skills. And it's good in your practice because of your experience. It's about your leadership to actually highlight this and then point out the simple ways that you can actually do those modules. It sounds as if something that would be part of a PLT or something like that, that practices could look at relatively easily and benefits this really important subset of patients. Absolutely. And it's really around the Veterans Hub and learning modules on the college website, which is really a store of information. So any other advice for practices in general about how they care for veterans or becoming veteran-friendly accredited?
So my main advice would be not to overcomplicate it. Becoming veteran aware in general practice is just small achievable steps rather than anything big that your practice needs to worry themselves about. The first step is just to sign up. And if you just search RCGP Scotland Veteran, it'll come up on your search engine and you click on it, you'll get into TURAS and you can sign yourself up as a practice and you can get access to the modules. In practice, as I say, ask patients if they've served, code that veteran status, and just make sure your practice wider team understands why this matters. Be familiar with the national and the local support pathways. And if you look on NHS Inform, it tells you on there the specific national veterans pathways for some specific things like complex trauma, PTSD, and things like that. There are specific specialist pathways that are mentioned on there. And of course, signposting you to Veterans First Point. It's also, as I've mentioned already, and it would be remiss of me not to acknowledge that wider family context. Partners, carers, children of serving personnel and veterans are absolutely impacted by veterans' life, by military life and that transition. And that would be terrible of me to ever forget that what went on in my own family as I was away and overseas. It was really tough. So for practices, considering that accreditation, I would say it's really worthwhile. My practice, of course, didn't grudge at all going through it. They did so quite willingly, as have other practices in my local area, because they're nice and it was me that was asking. But actually, they genuinely did come. You know, we've all seen veterans who've had those issues. And I speak to people and GPs that are both veterans and non-veterans that have said the same thing, that this is a group where we got to acknowledge what the difficulties that they might have, which are slightly different. It's in the RCGP curriculum, of course, now as well, thanks to Colonel Robin Smith getting it, advocating that with James Leach as well. But yeah, the process, I would say, encourages reflection on how we identify the support to veterans. It aligns really strongly with what we hold important in general practice with regards to that continuity, holistic care, prevention, proactive care, reducing inequalities. So yeah, I'm really proud to have been involved in the development of it. I'm really proud to have my practice signed up to it. And I would hope other practices across Scotland think this might be something that's worthwhile doing as part of your CPD, your appraisal, your revalidation, your PLT. I agree. Some great ways and opportunities to get involved. So for Armed Forces this year, why don't you consider getting yourself onto their RCGP Scotland Veterans, have a look online and get yourself signed up.
Fantastic. That's exactly what we want to hear, really a positive message about what you can do, simple changes that can really make a difference, and ongoing CPD. So modules in TURAS and Veterans Hub on the college website and NHS Inform, all of those are resources. But the biggest resource is, I think, people and us as GPs really advocating for this. So I'll just say thank you very much, Scott, for telling us your story and sharing that with us.
Thanks, Chris, for having me. It's really appreciated.
Thank you for listening to Generally Speaking, the RCGP Scotland podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media to stay up to date with all of the work and news from across the college.